Hi, this is Adam Carolla. I want to thank you for supporting this podcast on the Carolla Digital Network. Everyone here at Carolla Digital is very proud of the shows that we put out every week and are excited about the future of our network. However, a patent troll is threatening that future by suing us. We need to fight back and beat the troll down. If we go down, all the other shows on the other networks you've grown to love are going to go down next. Visit fundanything.com/patent troll to donate and find out other ways that you can help beat the patent trolls. Thank you and mahalo. Buying a car can be a stressful experience, but True Car is changing car buying forever. Yes, True Car helps car buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Last month, over 45,000 cars were sold by the True Car Certified Dealer Network. And TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,046 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three steps. Go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for, then register TrueCar.com to see the upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Every day, TrueCar.com users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No, trust me, I'm going to get on. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for supporting us and supporting the show. Thank you so much for clicking through, man.
Did you just have a birthday?
Yeah, I did. Adam Carolla and DrDrewShow.com. You can subscribe with the PayPal button and all that good stuff. We do appreciate your support. Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So Dr. Drew and his wife and his dogs came over the other weekend, had a nice time.
Brought dinner.
To be fair. Very nice. Very nice dinner. Watched a little. Say Adam and DrDrewShow.com. I always say, I always screw that up. Anyway, you know where to find us because you're listening now. Watch my Newman documentary. I feel like all kids should just watch that documentary.
Yeah.
That guy was a hard-working dude, like a motivated dude.
It also is a great lesson about passion, right? And following passion and pursuing it and also sort of not doing one thing. Right?
Yeah.
You know, being he was working. He was doing like the Sting, you know, for a couple months. And then he'd go back out on the road to Le Mans.
Yeah.
Right? It was crazy.
Well, Le Mans was a one-time thing. But he was just he'd go back out on the road and race cars.
Like, yeah.
It was a kind of a pretty full-time job for him. People don't know how insane he was for cars. Not for cars. He liked racing. He didn't even like the. I don't think he.
He kind of dug the cars, didn't he?
He didn't have. He didn't have.
He certainly liked the racing. Yeah.
He didn't have a collection.
Wow.
He didn't own any of those race cars.
Maybe that's why it was so easy for him to. At one point, one of the really interesting parts about the documentary was he basically asks smart people what he should do to really become a good driver, and they tell him, "Hey, go race go karts basically for a while," and he was like, "All right."
Right.
As opposed to, hey, man, it's me. Dude, I don't race go-karts.
And I told him to race 5-10 Datsuns.
I understand. But you know what I mean? Just, if they said go-karts, he would have done go-karts. You know what I'm saying? He humbled himself, did whatever he had to do. That's all.
Yeah. That's why. Because he wanted to get better. That's why. That's what I don't understand. People say, hey, man, I want to do stand-ups. Like, go find an open mic and go get in line. Not that kind of stand-up. Well, what kind of stand-up are you talking about? Madison Square Garden? Oh, you're going to open for The Who? What'd you have in mind? You know, well, not that. You know, you don't want to do that. Yeah. The problem with everything in life is it starts off with go-karts. But nobody wants to race go-karts. They want to race Formula One because they're watching TV and they're seeing Formula One cars. They don't see go-karts.
But by the way, this guy's a movie star. If there were a person, I mean, Tom Cruise did a little bit of that. You know, hey, man, I'm racing cars.
Right.
You know, I mean, why would I do this? I'm not racing cars.
Right.
You know what I mean? That he's saying, hey, he could have pulled Trump of some sort and been a shitty driver.
Right.
But he wanted to be a good driver.
Right. So he paid his dues.
Yeah.
And he worked at it. And then every step of the way talked about how he knew he wasn't any good at the beginning, but that was okay. He was going to learn.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I just don't feel like people have the time to learn anymore. And that's part of the problem. Paul Newman was 47 when he wanted to take the time to learn how to do and get a new set of skills. And then he kept pursuing it, and then he got good. And that's what he did. And he humbled himself, and he didn't treat himself any differently than anyone else out there. And he just did it. But the fact that the guy was 82, 83 at the end and still doing
it. Amazing.
It's insane,
it's
right?
Crazy, yeah. Well, most people can't appreciate. I can only appreciate through what you've taught me how grueling it is to be driving a car.
Well, certainly, you know, I'm not one of these guys that says, "Oh, it's like running a triathlon or something." But they climb out of that car, they've sweat out 10 pounds, and it's hot. I mean, depending on where you are and what you're doing, but you climb out of that car in July, it's fucking hot.
And sometimes you're facing a few G-forces over and over and over again, right? Aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's grueling. I mean, look, that's why you're sweating out 10 pounds. You saw what he looked like when he climbed out of that car. It's like, yeah. There's an old man.
Yeah.
It's like fucking
beat up.
Beat up. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a crazy story that people just don't know.
I told you,
about that guy.
I asked my mother about it, who was, you know, about his age, maybe a little younger, and she was like, "Oh yeah, he was a great race driver." She knew all about it, which I thought was interesting. I wonder if people more his vintage were more aware.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm surprised. Oh, your mom may have been not stretching the truth, but may have been going, "Oh, you know, that thing you do where you go, oh."
People
knew he was into cars. But they, so far, the ones I've met, did not know about his full-time racing career.
Right. I had no idea the extent of it, and I'm sure she does not either. But I barely touched on the fact that you'd done a documentary on Newman's other career, and she was like, "Oh, yeah, he was out all the time racing." I was surprised at even that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right. Let's see.
Let's do this. Line four is sort of germane to what you were just talking about.
Did I hit line four?
Yeah.
There you go. Ivan?
Get it on.
42, Chicago. What's going on, man?
You kind of inspired me. I've been listening to your show pretty much every episode for like the last year. You pretty much inspired me to kind of get into comedy. So I'm in the process of putting together 5 minutes. And I also, I was lucky enough to sign up for some improv classes at Second City. So I'm pretty excited and looking forward to that.
Good.
So I guess my question for you is, you know, my name is Ivan Orlovic. I'm a Croatian American.
Mm-hmm.
Should I have an American name? The translation is John. In order to appeal to more, you know, a wider crowd.
All right, hold on, phone's going south.
Kind of broke up there.
I don't think anyone's name has helped or hurt anyone except for Minnie Driver. I'm convinced we wouldn't know who she was if her name was Ann Schmeckelwitz. That's my Minnie Driver theory. I don't find her to be a great actress or a great beauty. I just her name is Minnie Driver, and people want to work with Minnie Driver. It's starting to wear off a little bit, but the point is I don't think we would have heard of Minnie Driver if her name wasn't Minnie Driver. Other than that.
Well, and I think if anything, names are distinguishing, right?
Certainly in comedy. I mean, the days of everyone's got to be named Bill Cosby or George Carlin are gone. There's
no
Aziz Ansari. If people can.
Right.
Well, first off, there's a couple of things. And what people need to know about how this shit works. There are guys out there, like, do you know the name Russell Peters?
I'm not sure. Sounds
no. Yeah. You don't know Russell
Peters. Yeah, not well, that's for sure.
Okay. Russell Peters sells out Madison Square Garden because he is of an ethnicity that goes out and supports him. There's a few guys out there that have a certain nationality. He's a really nice guy. He's a friend of mine. There he is. Does he look familiar to you?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go. Now,
what's the ethnicity?
You know Dana Gould.
Yeah.
Dana Gould plays 300-seaters. Russell plays 3,000-seaters.
What is his thing? What is his ethnicity?
He's Indian. And he is supported by his community. And so when he goes out, he gets the, you know, he gets a couple billion people to choose from. He sells out on every continent. There is something, too, as a stand-up, not joining the huge corral of Jim Smith.
Wow, look at that.
We're watching him play. I don't know. I mean, look, I don't know if it's Madison Square Garden, but if it isn't, it's you know, and it's some 6,000 seater. The point is a really sweet guy. You don't want to join Dana Gould and Greg Fitzsimmons and duke it out with them over the 300 people that they're trying to get out to Rooster Tea Feathers in San Francisco. You don't want to do that. You're better off being Russell Peters.
My question,
it's like, hold on, I'm not sliding Russell. I'm going,
no,
he's funny, he's not funny.
No,
they're all funny.
It's a market issue.
It's a market issue.
Yeah. One market is saturated, and the other is a little bit more open.
Right. So maybe you want to get those Croats out there.
Yeah.
I'm serious. That's kind of how that business works.
The only problem with that is I think I might be the only Croatian with a sense of humor.
That's better.
Well, he thinks they don't like comedy.
Listen, I don't. I swear to God, these people, and when I mean these people, I mean all people, have this thing. We never. By the way, that's not xenophobia. That's not racism. That's nationalism. Like, you know, we never call that, even though it should be. Like, you know, we'd like comedy to be colorblind and culture blind, where, hey, they'll let the funniest person prevail, just like in any other facet. I mean, that's what we hope for.
Yeah.
But that's not the truth. The
Sometimes
truth is
the nuances require somebody that's specific.
The truth is people do like to see their own out there in many instances.
Especially with comics, you're making often fun of a common experience, right? And if you've not shared that experience, it's hard to make fun of it.
Right.
Although some people can, like, I like George Lopez's humor. He's making fun of a common experience, but I can appreciate what he's doing.
Right. But either way, the fact that, and I know what he's saying, well, there's not enough people to appreciate his, not enough Croatians to appreciate his sense of humor. But listen, Ivan.
Yeah.
There's a little guy by the name of Yakov Smirnoff who did quite well for himself cornering the Russian market, making fun of Russians, basically, to the blue-eyed devil. I would not run away. Look, whatever you are, if whatever you are as a comedian, bottom line is this. If you're a woman, it helps. People talk about, oh, no, there's hurdles to overcome. No. It's better. There's less, and people support more, I believe. If you're fat, it's better than nothing. I believe it's better if you're black. I believe it's better if you're Indian. I just believe there's a group of people that will support from all groups, but better to have something to hang your hat on. When you're Dana Gould or Greg Fitzsimmons, you're just fucking standing out there. You ain't fat. You ain't anything. You're just there.
Running.
And there's a lot of other guys. Now, you're going to have to do battle with Chris Titus and all the other guys that are just fucking white males out there trying to fucking whack up a piece. There's a piece of pie.
Yeah.
Except it's getting whacked up into slivers
I get it.
These guys.
I have a couple questions.
Yes.
First of all, do you like Amy Schumer?
Yes.
I think she's... Have you met her?
Yeah.
I think she is so good. I love her show.
Yeah.
Like, really, really. And that, I mean, like, really good.
So, yeah.
Anyway, okay, good. We agree on that. Number two, he's saying is he's putting together 5 minutes of comedy, which is a stand-up routine that he sort of is working up, but he's going to Second City to study sketch. Mm-hmm. Should you do both?
Or yes.
Do both.
Do all the above.
Do everything.
Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying, by the way, so I don't get shit from people?
No, you're not being racist. You're being,
not being anything.
You're talking about markets. Markets. Markets
and novelty to a certain degree.
Yeah.
When you see a female Indian comedian, well, let's just fuck everything because everyone always gets pissed at me. American Indian comedian is probably going to win out over 10 white guys because
it's unique.
Different.
Yeah.
And there's something there that if
you're talking about market forces.
Everything being equal.
You're talking about products and markets. All you're talking about.
Yeah.
So you're talking about if everyone's a Hershey bar, you know.
Be a peanut butter cup.
Be a peanut butter cup. Right. And by the way, there may not – maybe a lot of people don't like peanut butter, but you're betting that there's some peanut butter lovers out there. Right? That's all.
If you're in the big plastic pumpkin of life.
Yeah. I get it.
Be the Reese's Pieces
dude,
and not
paranoid.
The chocolate bar.
Dude, they're judging you. They're getting under your skin.
Oh, my God.
On the road, when you were doing the book tour, they get at you a little bit?
Everybody just comes at me all the time.
You
seem with
little,
every
it wears you down.
With everything
it wears you down. I
well,
get it.
Well, people never. I'm trying to fucking give a message here, and I'm also trying to speak the truth here, and it just everything just gets twisted around and shoved up my ass. And you
oh,
know,
I know what you're reacting to.
I never. It doesn't stop me.
Well, it's making you explain yourself. Be careful. Nothing wrong with being careful, by the way.
If I was careful, it wouldn't happen to me over and over again.
But you're trying to
be
careful.
I want people to understand what I'm saying.
Well, that's the problem is that the message gets lost in the reaction to the words, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Phone calls.
Yeah. Let's go to line one.
Line one. Let's talk to Dominic, 25, Colorado. Dominic?
How's it going? Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I'm really nervous, so I wrote this stuff down. But basically, my fiance kind of was smitten over her EMT tutor.
Ugh.
And she left me 5 days ago, and she's already now talking with this new guy. And we have a 3-year-old son. We bought a house. We have a dog and a cat. And I'm seeing a therapist. In fact, I'm on my way to see him right now. And I'm just not taking this very well. And just curious, I look up to you guys a lot. You guys are a huge inspiration. I just want to know what kind of advice you would give me to get through the day.
All right. Let me say this, Drew. Tell me if you find this to be true.
Mm.
I can remember being 25 and being a guy and just feel like you're no man's land because every 25-year-old chick is the fucking belle of the ball.
Right.
And you're trying to get your career off the ground. You're trying to get some down payment for a house. You're trying to finish your education. You're trying. Usually, you know, I'll put it to you this way. Show me every guy's car that they drove at age 24, 25, and show me the car they drove at 40.
Yeah.
You want to see a little difference?
Oh, no kidding.
I was driving a fucking Isuzu Trooper with 200,000 miles on it, a four banger that looked like a piece of shit.
Is that the one with the pliers for a window crank?
No, that was a Mazda pickup truck, long bed with fucking dinette seats in there. I'll show you the fucking...
That must have been illegal, right?
No, and by the way, the Isuzu was a big step up from the piece of shit pickup truck I was driving when I was 25. I was driving a 1984 Nissan standard bed, bench, no air conditioning, vinyl seat,
ugh,
fucking four-speed, you know, piece of shit, you know?
I was depressed at his age. He's
right.
25. Yeah, I mean, a little younger, but man, was I depressed.
When I was 40, I was driving an M3 BMW.
Yeah.
I mean, it show me the car you're driving in your mid-20s and show me the car you're driving in your mid-30s or 40 for a guy.
Yeah.
That's how you can, if you want something tangible to sort of chart the course. Now, show me a 25-year-old woman sitting at a bar. See how many beers and drinks and cocktails get sent over her way. Now show me a 40-year-old woman and see how many. There's a thing that goes on. It's slow, It feels slow when you're 25, but your stock creeps up as their stock dips down. It's very slow. It's very marginal. It's how society works. It's how society runs. You're 25-year-old woman, you're belle of the ball. You're 45-year-old woman, you're not the belle of the ball. Hopefully you have other things, careers and kids and things like that to focus on, but that's the way it works. So right now, she's the belle of the ball, and you feel like shit. Every day that goes by that you don't take your own life, your stock creeps up. Now, the best thing you can do, and I've been in your position before, which is this.
Adam was weeping outside of a sorority, crouched in the bushes.
Please. I was not crouched.
You had your pants down.
I stood tall in a shrub. The point is this. You are not going to feel good every day or maybe even most days for the next 6 months. That cannot prevent you from moving forward because the ultimate revenge, and it's not even revenge, it's just live your life. Take those days when you feel like being in a fetal position and start doing push-ups. And when I say push-ups, it's a metaphor for your education, your career, your what have you. Don't have them be lost years. They're not going to be comfortable years. Don't have them be lost years. Here's what I'm saying.
Well, just let me check in with him. How long ago did this happen?
How long ago did she leave me?
Yeah.
5 days ago.
Okay. Are you wanting to hurt yourself?
No, but I every day it gets worse, and I'm more and more depressed, and I'm really scared of, like, how depressed I can possibly get.
Do you have a history of depression?
No, I've never felt this way my entire life. Right,
this is what he's going through.
Yeah, get help.
He is. Yeah, he's on his way.
Get help. That's good.
But listen, Dominic, let me explain something. What you're going through right now is going to be Drew.
Yeah.
Dig. Not yet.
Yeah.
You're going to go through a prison sentence. You are going to be locked away for somewhere between 6 months and 2 years, depending on circumstances, whether you meet somebody, how it goes, how you handle it, so on and so forth. But you are going to have a little sentence, and you're going to get locked away for a crime you didn't commit. Now, you have a decision to make. You can eat the prison slop. You can sit there and cut on yourself, and you can masturbate furiously. And then when you're paroled in a year, you can be 20 pounds heavier with bad skin, or you can go, I'm going to do 100 push-ups a day, and I'm going to spend my time in the prison library, and I'm going to walk out of here ripped with a law degree. I'm still going to be miserable. I'll be miserable,
yeah.
But I'm going to have a law degree, and I'll be fucking ripped when I walk out of here. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
That's now,
absolutely true.
More easily said than done, but do you know what I'm saying, Dominic?
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying.
That's it. That's it. You could bury yourself in pornography and junk food, or you could just go, fuck it, I'm doing push-ups, and I'm going to get that law degree. And
you use this time to be more productive.
That will make you much, yes, that will make you much more attractive to the next person who comes along, believe you me. And you're just one person coming along from snapping out of this.
Right, I know this feels like there's never be anybody else. This is the one. That's an illusion. That's an illusion. And if you follow Adam's little rule here, the next one might be much more the one than you even understand.
Right. We've all had that thing. And then you start doing that math. Drew, you must have done that math too back in the day where you go, I am never going to be a part of this person's life again or see this person. That for me, that was the part that always kind of got stuck in my craw.
The finality.
Yeah, this notion of, all right, we're broken up, and we used to be together, and now we're apart, and whatever it is, she's dating somebody else, whatever it was. But then the notion that this will be it, like, you're just never going to see this person again.
Yeah.
Was always something that I couldn't really wrap my mind around. And part of it is, like having that best friend from the ninth grade when they're going off to a different high school.
Yeah.
And you're going off to this high school. Yeah, and you're like, I'm never going to see this person again.
It's just like dealing with death. I mean, it's a grieving process that our brains aren't really wired well for.
Yeah, but you ain't fucking grandpa.
How do you know?
Even if you are, it's not as satisfying.
Well, that's
no, but this notion of like, grandpa. I will never have sex with this person again. I will never see this person again.
It's weird.
And this person's going to marry some other person and have kids with them, and that'll be that. It's weird.
Yeah.
Now, when you get a little bit older, you realize, that's just part of the process
of
the cycle.
Right. You have more flexibility with those things. It's the same thing as, you know, when you're in seventh grade, we're BFF for life.
Right.
You know, you imagine that this person is a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not healthy.
Speaking of a part of me and healthy, Molly, girl. Oh. Molly had a nice time with your pups.
Yes. Thank you.
She's a mellow.
She loves our dogs, I think. I think it gets her going.
Yeah. She got up. She got going. I was actually running around with her in the backyard yesterday. Bark box, baby. Oh, they got the monthly box full of yummy treats and toys and innovative gifts and gadgets for your dog, man. All natural, single ingredient treats
I'm digging these box products. I like that because I don't like to go shopping for stuff. I like good stuff arriving.
Well, good. Then go to barkbox.com/Adam. You get 20% off your first subscription just by going to barkbox.com/Adam. And they support the small businesses that produce all the stuff that's in the box, including the box itself right here in the U.S. of A.
But seriously, we have... There's too many products out there for me to know what's the best and the good. So I like people that just put the boxes together, give me the good stuff, the lean elk meats and all that kind of stuff. Where the hell do I? You know what I mean? Send it to me. I got it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Dog is happy.
Yes. The hell do you know about elk? It's not your ilk, those elk. Last year, by the way, BarkBox donated over $150,000 to shelters.
You know what they're going to do this year?
$1 million. That's right. 10% all the proceeds go to help out the needy dog. So visit barkbox.com/M. Save 20% off your subscription. And it's all good. All right. Let's see. Drew, should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
We got some calls lined up. Let's see. Somebody has a substance abuse problem. Someone's going out with the same girl, met online, blah, blah, blah. It looks interesting. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, I'm going to tell you what I think about Memorial Day. And I'll bet you it's what you think too, but none of us really celebrate anymore. Listen for free through iTunes or visit LarryMillerPodcast.com. We'll see you here.
Tonight, from the producer of Scrubs and Cougar Town, comes the new comedy, Undateable.
I could probably be all over you, like, kiss me and, like, touch me, and you wouldn't do anything, because you're my friend, right?
Yeah, no.
They might be stuck in the friend zone now, but every underdog has his day.
Sweetie, are you okay? Are you having a little stroke?
Got a fine line, a force of...
Chris D'Elia stars in the premiere of Undateable. Tonight at 9, 8 Central, followed by Last Comic Standing on NBC.
Yes, indeed. We's back. Thanks again for all the support. Thanks for telling a friend, man. That's what we count on. We don't have billboards. We don't have commercials. We have you, and we have you sharing us with a friend. Drew, how you feeling, man?
I feel really good, actually. Yeah, have I talked to you about this? I don't know, but this last year, last couple of years, really, I've not been like firing on all pistons. Remember how many times I got sick and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I think those prostate biopsies I was getting every 6 months were knocking the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the operation knocked me down for 6 more months or 7 months. And I really feel like myself now, first time in a few years.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look good. You
Thank
sound
you.
Good.
Thank you.
You're not sniffling and coughing.
No. I feel strong. And by the way, when I get these really just colds, I would be laid out by them, which that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that's all behind me.
All right.
Oh, by the way, I've not talked about this yet, but I'm very involved with an organization called the Prostate Cancer Foundation. It's Michael Milken's group. Mm-hmm. They are raising money and giving research dough to people to do whatever they want. It's not like the government where there's all sorts of constraints and feedback and paperwork. They just hand these researchers money, and then once a year they come and report their stuff. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. So PCF.org if you want some more information.
PCF.org.
By the way, if you want information on prostate cancer, that's there as well, of course.
So, all right. You want to take some phone
let's
calls?
Let's keep going.
All right. Let's talk to Mara. 45, Seattle. Mara?
Hi. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm okay. I have a question. I have asthma that kicks in based on allergies, and I've been put on steroids a couple times. I did like 47 days in December, and they were the best 47 days of my life. Mm. And now I'm on it again, yeah. Like the high dose for 7 days. And I've never taken drugs or consistent medication. I don't drink. I'm healthy. But I guess something in life just doesn't really kick me into gear. And I've noticed with these steroids, I feel 120% better.
Yeah.
And it started going on in my mind that I actually want to tell my doctor they're not working so I can continue to stay on it, and that concerns me that life is so much better with it.
Okay, well, let's first...
I can breathe.
Yeah, hold on. Let's first talk about the downside.
Before she breaks into song, cut her off.
The hills are a lot. Did they go over with you the adverse effects of these corticosteroids?
Well, they talked about long-term, but I got to tell you, short-term, I'm not having those. I mean, I'm not sleeping a lot. But every time I start it, the first week, I lose 6 pounds.
Okay, short term, in the high dose in repetitive exposures, which is you're getting into that category, you will gain weight, you will lose muscle, your face will change, you will lose hair, you'll have potential for diabetes and osteoporosis. That's pretty much what's going to happen to you. So,
how long do you have to be on it for those effects?
It's hard to predict for a given individual, but once you're there, it's too late.
Well, Drew.
And it can happen rather quickly and all of a sudden. So tomorrow for you.
What's she responding to?
Right. What corticosteroids do is they make you high. They make you manic-y. So what you might want to do, yeah, and so maybe you have a little bipolar, whatever. Maybe you've been a little bit on the depressed spectrum. Maybe there are ways to actually.
Okay, I've been on the depressed.
Yeah, so why don't you get that treated with medication that's not going to harm you long term and give you diabetes and osteoporosis, and really go try to find something that really works for you, makes you feel like this in a safer way. There are such a thing as corticosteroid abusers. They're not addicts; they're abusers, and I have seen them. I've had people that abuse all kinds of corticosteroids to try to get that feeling you're getting. And every one of the ones I've dealt with have always been a little bipolar-y. So you might want to go see someone and see if you can get that dealt with, right?
Yeah, what a bummer. I got to be honest with you. You know, it makes those little things that you think about in life, like, oh, I need to do that. But most of the time it feels too hard or I'm too tired. All of a sudden I get everything done.
Yeah, well, you're going from depressed to manic. Adam was depressed.
Yeah.
Adam laid on the couch with a back pain. Remember that?
I do. I've not had back pain or neck pain listen, I've earned back pain because I played football for 10 years and then I got into construction, which was, you know, just up on a roof fucking lifting shit all day. And I've literally not had back or neck pain since I started doing what I wanted to do for a living.
Fascinating.
And I've not, by the way, it's not been part of a stretching regimen or acupuncture or anything. I just literally stopped being depressed about what I had to do. Now, I've been thinking about it, and I think I was talking about it out on the road with the Porcelain Punisher, who's in the next room. I don't need him. what I mean is I didn't want Gary to go run off and get him. I was just saying that I think what was causing it for me, and I think what was causing the depression, is I was sort of like a orca whale swimming in a small tank and my fucking dorsal fin would flopped over like I was depressed.
Yeah.
But I was an orca whale that was supposed to be out in the open sea.
Yeah.
And that was what was in me. Now, I was swimming in this fucking tank with a bunch of minnows, and the minnows were like, hey, this pretty good digs, right? And I was like, no. And they were like, what do you mean? plenty of room, free grub.
Hot tub.
This is pretty awesome, right? And I was like, no, I don't like this at all. And they're like, why not? And they're like, you know, if you moved into a slightly bigger tank, you'd be cool. And I'd be like, no, I don't think that's what the problem is. But I couldn't figure out through the minnows, those were my friends and coworkers and family members, what the fuck was going on? Why was I so depressed? Well, I was depressed because I wasn't a minnow. I was supposed to be out doing what I'm doing now. And instead, I was stacking pallets and cleaning up garbage, and it was making me depressed.
Now, hold on a second. You've suddenly become a little bit philosophical on me more than usual. Are you depressed now?
No.
You seem a little down or something, or thoughtful, or did your birthday come and freak you out, or what's going on?
Well, first off, I was describing having back pain, but now I don't.
But you're saying it with an attitude that I'm not. I you think you'd say it with more. I don't know what I'm reacting to. I'm not sure.
Okay,
you're not sure.
I can respect that.
But I'm having. I'm noticing something. I'm not quite sure what it is. Maybe just tired of being on the road and they took the kicked the shit out of you.
Well, the last 2 months have kicked the shit out of me. Yeah. It's doing the movie, doing the road, and all that kind of stuff.
Did it leave you with a bad feeling or a good feeling?
No, it's a feeling of I got to get up earlier than I want to get up, and I got to go to the airport. The airport depresses me, and the reason the airport depresses me is the colossal waste of time that it is, and take the belt off and take the shoes off, and
they have this pre-check thing now. You got to get that for Christ's fucking sake. No, what?
I get more depressed when I think about that. Listen.
Why?
You know why? Honestly,
why?
Because I really wish I wish my wife would go do that
for you.
Yes, because
I can't. You have to do it yourself.
No. I have to go down and do it. But someone's got to set up the whatever.
It'll take her 5 minutes. I'll get her to do it. But the interview is a pain in the ass. You got to go to the airport.
No.
I will get her.
Matt got it set up.
Oh, you see? So what the fuck?
I've been doing this for 5 years.
Doing what?
Going to the airport and standing like a fucking mule in line.
So get the pre-check.
Yes. I'm working on it.
Okay.
It's very difficult.
What? Getting the time to go to the airport's hard.
It's not going to the airport. I go to the fucking airport 10 times a fucking week. It's not going to the airport. I've been trying to get this fucking pre-check for fucking 3 years. It can't be done.
No, you're missing my point.
The airport... And doing the pre-check, I will do it any day of the week. You want to do it later on today? I'll do it today.
Okay.
We cannot get to that point.
Why? It's so easy. Matt, get in here.
It's easy for you.
No. You sign up, you put your number in that you so sacredly protect, your government number, and they give you a schedule, and you pick a date to go in there. That's it.
Okay. Look. When did you talk to Lynette about this last?
I've never talked to her. I said I can get her to do it for you. Well, I'm going to bring Matt in here right now.
Your wife did or some.
Did my wife talk to her?
Somebody.
Something. Did, yeah.
The point is, Matt will figure. Matt has been working on it. Everyone has been working on this for 3 years, except for they don't go on the road. I go on the road.
I know. You've got to fix this. It's insane.
I tell everybody to fucking handle it, and they won't handle it. What I'm saying is I'm
this
the
will,
fucking
this
mule.
This will change your life. This will change
I
your life.
I would love my life changed, Drew. I'm simply the guy who kills himself on the fucking road. I'm going to try to do this for you. Right. Guess who's not motivated to fix this?
Everybody.
Right. That's who's not motivated to fix this. That's who's not motivated to fix it.
Right.
Why aren't they motivated to fix it?
Because they're not the mule standing in line.
That's correct. They benefit from the mule who stands in line, but that's not a straight enough line for them.
Oh.
Do you understand? That's,
will you please tell Matt to fix this?
By the end
of this show, he should have it done.
I'm sure there's a really good reason.
Chris,
that doesn't sound like
by
Matt.
The end of this show,
go get Matt.
You could do
go
it right now.
Matt just broke it all down for me. Apparently, it was scheduled for a couple months ago, your appointment to go to the airport, but we had to move it for a contractor or something. It's now scheduled for this coming week or next week, but we're trying to figure out when we can get August to go with you because there's not much of a point to you having it if August doesn't have it. But it is scheduled for this coming week.
It's been kicked around for 3 years.
You know, here's what you do.
Absolutely.
You go down there, stand out in front of there, and just go.
It's going to work like a charm.
No. That's what I did. I couldn't believe it. I happened at the airport, and I went, I don't know if I can get a thing in it. They're like, you're Drew. Okay, sit outside. We'll get you in 10 minutes. So somebody will be your fan.
That's not the airport security.
It's the immigration people.
That's not the government that I know. But listen, either way, it's been attempted for 3 years. The reason it's not been successfully executed is because the people who it's been farmed out to do not. They're not the mule who stands in line. You understand, Drew?
I understand
the difference in motivation?
I blame August. He's your problem. He's your albatross here.
He stands in line with me.
That's what I'm saying. He should be motivated to fix this. Oh, Chris agrees with me. See that little nod? See that? You know what is a good execution? Hulu Plus, baby.
Mm.
Hulu Plus. Mm-hmm. More than Hulu.com. Hulu Plus, thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere. Favorites like Jimmy Kimmel Live, Shark Tank, SNL, Scandal. Mm. Yeah, Lost, Law and Order, SVU, exclusive originals, Behind the Mask, Hulu's new documentary that takes you inside the world of sports mascots. It's only $7.99 a month for all the shows and movies you can watch. But for our listeners, you can try it free for 2 weeks. Go to HuluPlus.com, HuluPlus.com/ADD. Now make sure you use HuluPlus.com/ADD for the extended free trial. And so they know that we are the ones that sent you. That is HuluPlus.com. My kids love this Hulu Plus.
Oh, yeah.
They go insane over this stuff. Yeah. It's exactly right. They don't watch TV.
No.
HuluPlus.com/ADD.
All right. Now, where was I?
You were angry at August.
No, I'm not angry at August.
We were doing calls.
He's the mule, stands in line next to me. You're angry at August. I was saying that I was depressed because I was doing stuff that I wasn't supposed to be doing, but didn't know I wasn't supposed to be doing it, which makes you depressed.
I mean, waiting at the airport a lot.
You brought up the fucking airport. I wasn't talking about the airport.
What is the stuff?
Well, for a living, I never got on a fucking airplane before I was 30, Drew. What are we talking about here?
What makes you depressed?
You were talking about I was laying on the couch with my back fucked up.
Right.
I started talking about orcas. You got into the airport. Then you got into the fucking fast pass thing. And now it pissed me off.
No, I said.
The reason.
What's making you depressed now?
You.
I make you angry now. It's making you less depressed.
Nothing. I'm depressed when you conjure up images of me standing in line at the fucking airport. That makes me depressed now, and that is fine with everyone in my life. That makes me depressed now.
So it's a metaphor for something greater, not just the standing line at the airport. It's the mule that everyone is fine with you hauling shit up the Andes, up the hillside.
Yes,
yeah,
and not fine with it.
Everyone's fine with it.
As far as I can tell.
So again,
but the mule will break down one day, and the problem will be with the villagers when the mule breaks down.
And all that stuff falls down the hill,
you're going to be out of mule.
But as a word I've used it before, you deny it, but it keeps occurring to me every time you talk like this, which is you feel exploited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No. Now, what I was talking about before is I was depressed because I was doing what I was not supposed to be doing full time, which will depress people. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
If you got a job at a factory that makes belt buckles and you stood on a fucking conveyor belt and worked on belt buckles for 9 hours a day, you would become depressed because it's not what you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
You got pushed out of the nest and got pushed into a college and started focusing on what you were supposed to be doing. And then when you finished that phase of your education, you went on to another phase of your education.
In fact, one of the most miserable times of my life when I was trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's a very miserable time in life. When you're either pursuing what you're supposed to be doing or doing what you're supposed to be
doing, then
your back stops hurting.
Yeah, way better.
Now, the problem is when you're standing there putting together belt buckles one after the other and everyone around you is explaining, hey, this is a pretty good gig, right? This is what you're supposed to be doing. And you're looking around going, I don't like this. I'm miserable at this factory. And they're saying, well, sure, you're miserable. Everyone's miserable. But then we got the weekends. And you're going, I don't want to do this. And they're going, well, what else is there? And then you go, well, maybe there's something else. And they go, nah, I don't think that. That's when the back pain comes in.
Yeah.
Once you get out of the factory, you start doing what you want to do. No matter how hard you're working at something you want to do. And thus the back pain goes away. That's what happened with me. All right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Fucking bring up the security shit. Scott?
Yes, Ace, get it on.
37?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, and big fan of both you guys since probably 96, way back, lots of love line. I'll be brief. Met a girl online. She's 35. Before our first date, she mentioned two things that kind of sparked my interest, so to speak. She said she has trust issues with guys. She's been cheated on repeatedly. The second thing, alcohol use came up, and I said I rarely drink, and she said that that was a relief to her because she'd been 8 months sober up until March. Although, Ace, I do have two bottles of Mangria in my fridge. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, buddy. So date number one, it goes well. I ask her out again. I get this cryptic, yeah, sure, that's fine, but there's something I need to get off my chest, and she wants to tell me in person. I'm like, okay. So date number two, I get some more insight to her. She tells me how...
By the way...
Hold on, Scott.
I got to get something off my chest, unless it's my semen. never a good thing. If they would follow it up with, I need to meet you later. There's something I need to get off my chest. And then they pause and they go, it's your jizz. That would be a great meeting.
That's a call you look forward to.
Second to that, everything else
good.
Is bad.
Nothing
everything,
good, yeah.
Everything else is bad. Go ahead, Scott.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So so she tells me that, and I'm thinking, okay, fine. We'll talk about that. And so we have date number two. I get some more insight to her. She tells me how she just had to call in sick to work the other day because she went out the night before and was hungover the next day. And
chicks can't rally. What did I tell you, Drew?
Yeah, I'm thinking you're 35. This is going on. But then she tells me how she was physically abused by a boyfriend about 8-9 years ago. But she's over it, and she thinks she's over it. And the whole time she's telling me this, guys, I'm thinking, my God, this is like I could hear you guys screaming therapy, 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 AA. I'm literally hearing a love line. Like,
no.
We're screaming run.
We're screaming run.
Well, run. Okay.
That's
run
our first move. Run. Both of us screaming it simultaneously. Run.
Run to me. But I'm thinking like if she were to call in, I'm hearing you guys telling her, you know. Therapy,
well, you're gonna like it even less. Well, what I'm gonna say because.
Okay. Well, so let me to just finish up, Dr. Drew. So she won't tell me what she needs to get off her chest. It wasn't my semen. I don't know if she's got. I don't know if she's got full blown AIDS or what. But so my question is this, and you just said run, but do I wash my hands of this chick? She's smoking hot. That's the only reason I went out with her on date number two.
The numbers don't match.
Ooh. Yeah. Or do I just try to give her some Loveline-esque advice? Look, you need therapy. You need some AA.
How old is she?
She's 35, Ace.
Ooh,
it's like, man. Yeah. I mean,
listen.
She said she had been 8 months sober until March.
Listen, Scott, quiet.
Yeah.
Here's the thing in life. A guy needs projects, but not in human form.
Yep.
Guys need...
Unless you're me.
A fixer-upper house is cool. An old car that you're working on is great. But human beings, especially loved ones,
loved ones.
Those kinds of projects. Yeah. Look, it's fine if you have a friend and the friend's having some struggles and you're going to help them with some sobriety or some counseling or what have you, financially, whatever. But when it's an intimate relationship and that becomes your project, meaning... When you're fucking the old car, you're restoring, that's bad. Restoring an old car, fine. Fucking it and restoring it, bad. So this is you walking into 2.5 years of your life lost, possible pregnancy, breakup, chaos, now Fox. Crazy mama, raising kid. You know, I don't like the idea of saying, well, look, you're damaged goods, you're on your own. But if someone is laying it on this early and this often, first off, they're kind of asking for out in a weird way. And
she's on notice saying she only goes for guys that mistreat her or abandon her.
But I'll give
so
you
that's what she's trying to do is push him away because he's a good guy.
I'll give you an example. If she just started up with Brad Pitt, do you think she'd be laying all this shit on his lap? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or playing it a little closer to the bra?
But the point is, the real dynamic is she can't stand somebody that could be close to her. That's the real underlying message here, which is like, hey, you seem a good guy. I'm gonna run.
Right.
And even before we get started, I'm gonna run. But here's the bigger picture. What did she mean by 8 months sober?
Mm-mm.
Seeing as how we went out, she told me this, I think, before the first date. I wasn't really going to get into it, Drew. I was kind of getting to know her, and I wasn't going to be like, hey, were you in AA? I mean, I wasn't going to grill her. But she just said, I think it was just her own, which
right.
I know
right.
it, that's
right.
not true sober sobriety.
Okay, so,
I heard
right.
you say
right.
no.
Right. So she needs to go to daily meetings. She needs
yep.
to do steps with a sponsor. She
right.
needs to have no new relationships for 12 months.
Okay.
That's part of the deal. That's why I knew she wasn't really sober when she announces 8 months in, I'm getting involved with somebody. No.
Yeah.
And then this, it sounds like her relationship issues are much bigger than just addiction, and she needs therapy for that, which is a separate problem, and that may need to wait until she's been sober a while, but she might as well, in the meantime, get a relationship going with a therapist.
Okay.
Okay.
But do I, how do I don't know. Like you
Matter
said,
of
you,
fact.
You picked up. I'm a nice guy. Do I say, hey, good luck, but you need some therapy and some AA.
Yeah, no. I talked to a friend of mine who's a doctor, and he said, you can't have a new relationship until you've been sober a year. I don't want to do that to you.
Okay.
It's going to make
And my friend is Dr. Drew.
Yes. She's going to double down.
And then she's going to want you, yeah.
Yeah. Sad, but true. But that's the way nut jobs are
tell
wired.
You, well, tell you, see her in a year. You're sober for a year with sponsor. She's that hot. You know.
Tell him that. All right. Thank you, guys, so much for the help. And for the fund anything and the patent trolls, we're going to go it alone, but we're going to go it. So thank you so much for that. And thank you so much for the support. You go to Amazon. You can link it to Adam and drdrewshow.com and subscribe to the PayPal button and
click
all
through
that
Amazon
good
there,
stuff.
Yeah.
Click through Amazon. So until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew, Chris Maxipata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.